Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. Yes.
Lord, do not pass me by.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Giving honor to God, Almighty God, our Father,
yes.
Maker of heaven and earth, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who we've been talking about all morning.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be here. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Precious Holy Spirit, who is here with us right now.
Right now. Mm-hmm.
He is here with us right now, leading
yes.
and guiding us. Amen. Here to help me preach this word, here to help us all understand this word.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Giving honor to our pastor, Reverend Dwayne N. Davis. Amen. First Lady, have a birthday.
Thank you.
Amen. To my lovely wife. Just want to wish my brother and my sister happy anniversary.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Pray that you guys have many, many more. But as the pastor said, there's a word for us this morning. How many need a word this morning?
Yes.
Amen. I got two hands in the back. Can I get three? Yeah. Amen. Amen. A word this morning. But there is a word. There is a word for us this morning. Before we begin, let us pray. Almighty God, we just truly thank you. You are awesome to us. You are the only true living God. You thought so much about us that you sent your only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins, where we deserve to be. But as Jesus promised, he rose on the third day with all power. And now we can participate in that resurrection power. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who is leading and guiding us in all truth. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name. Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It had to be the Lord called.
Yes.
Yes. Hello.
You know he heard us. This
hello.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Many of you know, and some of you don't know, we have been on a journey.
Ooh.
Lord's been using our pastor to take us through the scriptures and teach us a few things to prepare us for what's coming ahead.
All right.
We are in our season of miracles. Amen.
Amen.
In our season of miracles. And lately, we've been talking about communing with God.
Yeah.
Communing with God. And God has been using this man to show us how to dialogue as opposed to monologue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Got a dialogue. He want to have a conversation with you.
Yes.
But he wants to initiate that conversation. That's where we are right now. But God has another word for us. And those of you that are taking notes, I want to give you a title. And you could use it as a prophetic word or not. But the title is, The Storm is Coming. And in parentheses, you can put this, It is I. Be not afraid.
All right.
The storm is coming. It is I. Be not afraid. Scripture reading this morning will be coming from Matthew chapter 14, and I'll be reading verses 22 to 34. Matthew 14, 22 to 34. We hear it read this morning, John 6, 15 to 21. And this is Matthew's event, or his words on the same event.
Right.
It's not a parable, this is a true event. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Starting with verse 22, and the word of God reads thusly, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good courage. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. Everybody say, come.
Come.
And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come unto the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were going over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret. And God had a blessing to that red word.
Amen.
The storm is coming. If you've been a Christian in any length of time, you've already been through a few storms. Amen. And hopefully you've been through a few storms.
That's right.
This morning, our scriptures, I want you, if you're taking notes, I want you to write these scriptures down. You already have Matthew 14, 22 to 34. You already had read for you this morning John 6, 15 through 21. And also Mark wrote on the same account, which is Mark 6, 45 to 53. And in your personal study, you need to read all three so you can get an idea of what really was happening here. I want you to listen to this introduction. When a bad storm is coming, people tend to run for shelter. Amen?
Amen.
Oftentimes, we don't know the storm is coming and we get caught in it. You ever been caught in a storm?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Just come out of nowhere. Life storms are often the same way. Sometimes we know the storm is coming, and sometimes we find ourselves right in the middle of it. Life can be that way sometimes. And for the Christian, without storms, we are of little value. Amen.
Amen.
Without the storms of life, we are of little value. Someone who has been through a storm or who has been through trials and tribulations can help somebody else. Amen. Notice I said been through the trials and the tribulations. As a matter of fact, you can know very little about God until you go through a few storms. Bottom line is, in the midst of the storm, that is really when we get to know God. And if we let God guide us through our storms, He will perfect us and grow us into the mature Christians we need to be, fit for the Master's use. Amen.
Amen.
So God is trying to get us to view storms differently. Storms of life, the things that we go through. And God's going to do something a little different with me this morning. We're going to walk through the scriptures using Matthew's, Mark, and John's account. And we're going to put this thing together, and we're going to see what God is trying to tell us this morning. And normally we have, you know, as we preach, we've been taught to have a few points. Amen. But I'm going to have a few sections.
Paint the picture.
I'm going to have a few sections this morning. It's going to be about six sections, but we're going to walk through the scriptures, and we're going to let God show us what he's trying to tell us this morning. The storm is coming. It is I, be not afraid. Now I'm going to start with Matthew 14 and 22. And this first section is called Keep His Commandments. Matthew 14 and 22 says this, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Just to paint a picture, right. They just finished watching a miracle where Jesus fed 5,000 men, not including the women and the children. We don't know how many it was. We know it was at least five. It was 5,000 men and more. And he fed them all with, the Bible tells me, five loaves of bread and two pieces of fish. And he fed all these people and still had some left over. Miracle of nature. This is our God. He has control over everything. Feeding 5,000 people with two fish and some bread is nothing for him. Amen. But Jesus straightway constrained his disciples to get into the ship. Now Mark said it this way, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethesda, while he sent away the people. He told his disciples, I want you to go to the other side, over, away from Bethesda, over to the other side, while I send these people away. Now, the word constrain means to urge with authority. We all can agree Jesus has authority, right? It also means to command. So he wasn't asking. Amen?
Amen.
That's why we have to keep his commandment. He's not asking. He's commanding.
Right.
I need you guys to go to the other side. In Isaiah 6 and 8, we read, also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. We have to be like Isaiah, prepare ourselves to receive the command. Even though he hasn't given a command yet, you got to be ready to receive the command. Are you ready to be sent out? If you're ready to be sent out, there's a command. And when the command goes forth, you got to move quickly. But Jesus said, get into the boat, and I want you guys to go to the other side while I take care of what's going on here. Now we move to Matthew 14 and 23. And we see what happens next. This next section we call Always Commune with God. And verse 23 says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Jesus gives us the awesome example. He always took time to pray and commune with his Father. It's all we've been preaching about. Amen. For the last few weeks, communing with the Father. Bible studies and Sunday schools, sermons, been talking about communing with God. Prayer is the most important privilege we have from God. To be able to go before the throne of grace without any barriers. Mm-hmm. All we need to do it is in the name of Jesus Christ, and we can come to the Father. And we can tell him all about our troubles. Mm-hmm. We can tell him what's on our mind. And I can almost guarantee that Jesus and the Father had a dialogue. It wasn't a monologue. Jesus didn't go telling the Father what he wanted. They were one.
All right.
When you're one with somebody, you dialogue. You listen and you talk. The time when you dialogue is when you build that relationship. Now, I heard something and I researched it, and it is true. There's a species of bullfrog, and they croak so loud that God designed their ears, that while they're croaking, their ears shut off. I don't know if it's to protect them or what, but that's what happens. And scientists say while they're croaking, they can't hear a thing. They just bellowing. They don't hear nothing. Now, who that sound like? Kind of sound like our prayers, don't it? We go before God and we try to commune with God. And all we're doing is talking. Sounding like a bullfrog. We done shut off our ears and we can't hear God tell us anything. Don't be like the bullfrog. Take your time, commune with your Father. But go to listen what he has to say. And let me give you the Hebrew definition of listen. It means to listen with an intent to do. Don't just say you heard me. Listen with an intent to do. Lord, whatever you got to say, I'm ready to do it. I just need to hear the word. Listen with an intent to do. So Jesus sent the disciples out. He sent the people away. He went to commune with the Father. And while he's communing with the Father, we're going to talk about these jokers in the ship. Amen. This next section is going to be called The Opposition Will Come. The Opposition Will Come. I spend a little time here. So we're going to go over to Mark 6 and 47. And when eve was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. I was talking about Jesus is alone on the land. The ship is in the midst of the sea, and it's about evening time. Now, evening time, just a little something about Hebrew time. They go in increments of 12 hours. 12 hours during the day, 12 hours at night. And then each of the 12 hours are broken down into watches at night. You got the first watch and the second watch and the third watch and the fourth watch. And the evening is that first hour of the night. Just when it's starting to get dark. And that's about 6 o'clock p.m. It's about 6 p.m. Evening is about 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Amen. So around 6 p.m., they were in the ship in the midst of the sea. Amen. Just want to give you an idea where they are. Matthew says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. So Matthew gives us a little bit more detail. Matthew also says they're in the midst of the sea, but they were tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Sounds like our lives. These disciples are in the midst of a storm. And Jesus said, I want you to go to the other side. But he didn't tell them they was going to be in the midst of a storm. And the waves are coming against them. Now John said, and they entered into the ship and went over the sea towards Capernaum. Now Capernaum is on the opposite side of Bethesda. And it was now dark. So we know that it was at least a little bit past 6 o'clock because now it's dark.
Yeah.
And Jesus was not come to them. Now I went and did a little research, and Capernaum and Bethesda are about 3 miles from each other by boat. So by boat, about 3 miles. The whole Sea of Galilee is about 8 miles wide. 3 miles journey to go from Bethesda to Capernaum. I want you to listen to this. This is John's account. So we heard Matthew, we heard Mark. Now here's John. John said, so when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh to the ship, and they were afraid. A furlong. Furlong is about 0.125 of a mile. So if they went out about 30 of them, they were about almost 3.5 miles away from their previous starting point. Now Capernaum ain't about 3 miles away. And Mark said, or Matthew said, that they were tossed with waves and the wind was contrary. How many know that when you're going through a storm or you're going through something in life, sometimes life can set you off track a little bit.
Yeah.
Amen.
Sometimes the winds of life can push you back. But you don't stop. You got somewhere to go. You got a destination. Sometimes these winds can push against you in life. And Mark said this, and he saw them rowing, talking about Jesus. Mm-hmm. So they're in the midst of the sea, being tossed back and forth. Mm-hmm. They're a little bit off their course, and Jesus is watching the whole thing.
Yes.
Jesus knows what you're going through. Come on now, does that encourage you? He knows what you're dealing with. He's not just sending you out there on your own. He knows what you're going through. And if he sees everything and hadn't stepped in yet, it should be all right.
Yes.
That's how much confidence you got to have in Jesus. That although you had not stepped in and changed my situation, I'm going to trust you anyhow.
Yes.
But Mark said, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. Mm-hmm. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. Now it says the wind was contrary. And we heard the word, this morning was all in the sermon. Contrary means to be in opposition or to suffer. And God wanted to share two types of oppositions that we find. Pastor even said something about that. I thought he was going to preach this morning. But listen to what God says. Two types of opposition or suffering. One, you suffer for Christ, which means an outside force is attempting to keep you from completing God's commandment. You're suffering for Christ. The enemy or outside force, thoughts, desires, whatever it is, it's trying to keep you from doing the will of God. But you're still pressing on. And the second is needless opposition and suffering caused by sin and disobedience.
Yeah.
When you're in this position, God becomes your enemy and your opposition. So as we self-examine ourselves this morning, you figure out where you are. Maybe you're just going through for Christ. And you just need to be patient and wait on the Lord. And maybe you're out of the will of God. And you're going through some stuff needlessly. Where God's got your back too. All you got to do is spend a little time with Him.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
There are times when we are doing will, God's will, and it is His plan for us to struggle. To do what God has commanded us to do. Sometimes we have to struggle. That struggle is good for us. My Bible tells me that suffering perfects you. When God tests you and proves you, it makes you a better person. That's why we can't always run from our struggles. We have to face them with God. It is His will that we learn lessons that can only be learned by facing the winds that are contrary to us. There are certain things that are going to come against you, and God's going to allow it so you can prove that you believe what you say you believe. You don't have to go out there and prove anything. You don't have to test God's word. He'll do all of that for you. If you say you believe, He'll make sure you have an opportunity to prove it. Amen.
Amen.
Going to the other side meant the disciples were fervently rowing in the wind or the opposition. Although the wind blew them a little off their course, they did not stop rowing into the wind. You got to continue to do the work. You got to continue to move forward. You got to continue to go forward. Paul said it like this: I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. No matter what comes against you, you got to press. You got to continue to move forward. Giving up is not an option. That's why when He clothed you in this battle armor, there's no armor for the back.
That's right.
There's no room for cowards and people that's going to run from what God has placed in front of you. You got your sword. You got your Bible. You get your shield. You got your helmet. Shod with the gospel of peace. He's got everything covered. And He purposely didn't give you anything for your back because there's no room for cowards. You got to face your wins, and press on. And this next section is called Fear Not. Matthew 14 and 23 says this: And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Now we learned that they jumped in the boat about 6 o'clock. That's the first watch. Now the evening watch spans over into the first and the second watch. So we're talking about 7 to 10 o'clock, about the time they jumped in the boat and ended up in the midst of the sea. Now the fourth watch, that's the last watch, from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning.
So from about 10 o'clock to 3 a.m., they out there in the midst of the sea all by themselves, fighting against the wind. And Jesus watching from the shore.
How many feel like Jesus just watching?
Yeah.
As you struggle and battle and you're going through. What you don't want is for him to stop watching.
Mm-hmm.
He knows everything. He may not come when you want to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What'd he say? He's always on time. He's on time, God.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he is. He's an on-time God. So just because he's watching and he hadn't stepped in to change your situation. See, what Jesus knows is, if I leave him out there just a little while longer, I won't have to change his situation. They'll change. The struggle is what changes you.
Yeah.
Jesus is more interested in you changing than changing your situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many times do we read in the Bible that he don't change the situation, but the person changed.
Yeah.
And he's viewing God differently and responding to God differently because he went through a little something. See, God's trying to change you. Talk about that in Bible study this morning. Talking about what the world's doing. Ain't nobody gonna fix the world. It's gonna fix you. So when you go out in the world, you know how that. I'm just telling you, that's what he used to tell me. I look in the mirror, Lord, what's wrong with me? I need to fix you. I ain't fixing them, you the problem. So when I send you back out there, you know how that. What I gotta fix them for? I'm gonna take care of that in due time. I'm gonna separate the wheat and the tares in due time. But right now, I need you to change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You the problem. You won't listen. You won't do what I told you to do. And you want me to go change the world so you can be obedient anyway. I'm sorry, disobedient. But that's what he told me.
Yes.
You know? That was my word. But in the fourth watch of the night, somewhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., we know it won't morning yet. No, the sun won't come up because it was still dark. So I'm just going to assume it was a little closer to 3. Still dark. Just imagine trying to battle these seas, these waves coming against you in the middle of the night. You can't even see the wave coming. Every time you think you're going to come up for a little air, here come another wave. Bam! You got your boat sideways and you don't know where you're going. Matthew says this, 14:26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, oh my God, is a spirit. They already fighting against the enemy. They already in trouble. Have no idea where they're going. It's dark. They can't see. And next thing you know, they look up and there's something walking on the water.
Something like.
They done forgot all about what Jesus said. When Jesus said, go to the other side, he didn't give you all the power you need to get there. Don't matter what you come up against. But we forget all about that. And here's Jesus walking on the water. And they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear, crying like babies. I'm tired of hearing Christians cry like babies. I told this in Sunday school this morning. We was talking about complaining. And somebody asked something about complaining. I just reminded me of the time I was complaining. My wife said, suck it up. I'm like, what? What is she talking to? But I knew what she was trying to say. I got it. Sometimes when I want to complain, I don't even tell them. I don't want to hear say
Amen.
But it's sometimes what you need to hear.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're out there crying, and the Lord then gave them the word they need to get to the other side. And then Mark says this in 6:50. For they all saw him. Not just one of them, all of them saw him. For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them. So he know. You know, if he don't say something to you, you gonna go do something crazy, jump out the boat, do something. He said this, and saith unto them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. So you going through something, and God is telling you right now, listen, it is I. Be not afraid. I got you. I said I would never leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe that? Well, you're sure not acting like it because you're out there screaming for fear. It is I, be not afraid. Matthew 14:26, but straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. That is letting me know they all heard it. Now, the Greek word for fear shows us that the disciples were afraid and they were screaming out in utter fear and they were going to lose their lives or something. No matter what type of storm you're going through, God is over all. How many know he controls everything?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
He controls everything. Now he talking. Come Wednesday, when you're going through something, can you say it then?
Yes.
But he got control of my situation. I'm going to be all right.
Yes.
Well, none of y'all call pastor screaming and crying now. But you can call him. Amen. But not is it, he just, not he, when I say he's over all, I'm talking about sickness, whatever storm or trial you going through, your finances, your job, whatever it is, whatever you dealing with right now, he's over all. And all he's saying to you right now is, fear not. Fear not. The disciples saw Jesus walking on the sea, but they did not know who it was. And that's what fear do. You can't recognize what God is trying to show you, what he's trying to tell you, how he's trying to lead you when you are fearful. When you don't trust God, when there's doubt. They thought he was a ghost. Jesus can come in an unknown way.
Yes.
And the very thing you think has come to destroy you is meant to save you. That's why we gotta let go of all the fear and grab hold to some faith. Maybe it's something God wants you to get rid of, and your fear won't even allow you to hear him. And he's saying, I just need you to let that go. Maybe if you just grab this right here, everything will be all right. This next section is the call to faith. We're almost done. The call to faith. And with this, we're going to stick in Matthew. He's the only one who wrote about this. Matthew 14:28. And it's the fourth watch of the night. It's the middle of the night. There's a storm brewing. The ship is out in the midst of the sea. They off course. And Jesus is walking on the water towards the ship. They saw him. They freaked out. And that is kind of got him calmed down. And one of them stood up. 14:28. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Verse 29. And he said, come. Jesus said, come. Everybody say, come.
Come.
Jesus said, come. Everything that Peter needed was wrapped up in that word, come. He didn't just walk out on the water on his own. He needed to hear from God himself. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what?
The word of God.
If you ain't heard from the word of God, then I question the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Can't just conjure up faith from anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Just can't step out on faith. That's that Christian word we like to use. You do step out on faith the way Peter did it. But you just can't step out on faith because you want to. There needs to be a word from God to give you the power to step out. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. My God. Just a few minutes ago, he crying like a baby. Jesus shows up on the scene and calms him down. It's going to be all right. Just calm down. I got you. And he had just enough clarity to start asking God questions. If it be you, Lord, bid me to come on the water. I see you walking on the water. You the master of the sea. And then what we sang just a little while ago, you the master of the sea. These winds are bellowing, but I don't see any of that. I see you walking on the water. Now I'm a follower of Jesus. There's something in me that makes me want to walk on the water now. I just want to be with Jesus. Now, I'm in the boat struggling, and Jesus is out in the water fine. Calm, cool, and collected. Nothing's bothering. I want to be where he is. And if it means I got to step out into the depths of the sea to be with Jesus, so be it. But Lord, I'm going to need you to tell me to come first. I ain't coming out there yet, Lord. I just need you to give me that one word. If you would just tell me to come out there. I see that I can come out there because you out there.
Yeah.
Wherever you are,
there
shall I be. If you in the water, why I want to be in this boat and you ain't in the boat? I want to be on the water. Lord, bid me to come. And Jesus said, come. And this man stepped out of the boat and he began to walk on the water. My Bible tells me he's looking at Jesus and he's walking towards Jesus. Matthew said he walked out because he wanted to go to Jesus. Didn't care nothing about no wind. Didn't care nothing about we off course. All I want to do is be with Jesus. Because if I'm with Jesus, I know I'm all right. Sometimes in your situation, Jesus not in the boat. We're looking for Jesus in the boat. He is out in the midst of your situation. And he wants you to step out with him. He got you. Why are you worried? Who cares what the world do when you got Jesus? If God be for you, who can be against you? I heard somebody say when the enemy come against you, he gonna raise up a standard. If God be for you, who can be against you? My God. Jesus show up and people get brave then. But guess what? Jesus is always with you. When you remember he's with you, you're brave. When you forget he's with you, you lose it. He's always with you. Look at the difference that the presence of Jesus made. Peter replaced his fear with God faith to walk on this water. In the presence of the Lord, there's a difference in the way you face things. Make you want to get out the boat and walk on the water. He didn't just jump in the water, he walked on it. When you're in the presence of God, you feel like you can do anything. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. But when you out there by yourself and you done got yourself in some trouble, you do like Adam, you go hide yourself. I was afraid. God come looking for Adam. I hid myself because I was afraid. That's how we act. Need to come out of that. Spend a little time with the Lord. That's why the pastor been preaching all this time last 3, 4, 5 Sundays about communing and dialoguing with God. Because he know if he can get you to spend some time with God, you're coming here bold with some power.
Yes.
Pastor can't give you no power. None of the ministers up here, we can't give you any power. We all got to go before God. But when he saw the wind boisterous, oh my goodness. Now first he was looking at Jesus. Now he's looking at the wind. Who that sound like? Say me. I was gonna tell you, look at your neighbor. Just say me. I'm gonna put my name in there. But when Gerald saw the wind bush, he was afraid. Just throw your own name in there. But when he saw the wind bushes, he was afraid and began to sink. See what happens when you take your eyes off Jesus? Says he began to sink and went right back to where he started. He cried, oh Lord. But thank God he did. He called out to the only true living God that could save him. Don't call me, because I can't help you when you get that deep in the water. When you step out in the water like that, believe me, you're gonna need Jesus to help you out. Because I can't swim. And he cries saying, Lord, save me. Sometimes in your walk, you get that sinking feeling that you brought on by fear. Life storms is saying, oh, you have messed up now. What are you doing out here in the midst of this storm? You can't live that Christian life. You can't do that. Who told you you could walk on the water? You're not going to make it. That's what you hear. Peter didn't try to hide his doubt. He cried out. He had enough sense to cry out to the Lord. Lord, save me. And that should be our cry when we fail, when we have some doubt. Cry out to God and let him come get you. It's all right that you messed up, but cry out to God and let him come save you. So you can get your eyes back on Jesus. Amen. Verse 31 said, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now Jesus knew where he doubted. He wanted him to know. He wanted him to grow and learn from this situation. Where did I doubt? Where did I make my mistake? How did I get off course? Why am I where I am now? What did I do to cause this? We got to self-examine ourselves. And if you spend a little time with Jesus, he'll let you know. See, if you'd have just left them alone, if you'd have just went to church that Sunday, if you'd have kept your money in your pocket and didn't buy that dress, you knew that was your gas money. God will tell you where you messed up now, sweetie. And it'll show you how to learn from it. Next time I want that dress, I'm like, hey, I got to put gas in my car. Next time that person call me up, I'm like, look, I can't do that.
Amen.
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 I can't go there. I don't do that no more. Amen. I can go out to dinner, but I can't go out to the club. I had to do that. That was a call I had to make.
oftentimes we don't know where the doubt set in or where it began to lead, or where we begin to lead the path that God has for us. But if we would just say with our whole hearts, Lord, save me. Mm-hmm. And mean it. Lord, save me. I'm off course. Mm-hmm. I made a bad decision and I need you to come and help me. Whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. Because I got to get out of this situation. I know this is not where you want me to be. And Jesus will stretch out his hand and catch you, lift you up, and walk you back to that boat. Mm-hmm. This next section, last section, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. We're going to move over to Mark. Mark 6 and 51. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. Mm-hmm. Y'all see what happened? Mm-hmm. So he walked back to the boat, and the wind ceased. When Jesus come and get in the midst of your situation, he knows how to change things.
Yeah.
He knows how to fix your situation. Mm-hmm. He knows how to cease all the winds that are coming against you. Mm-hmm. He knows that there are times when we just need a little peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not time for you to go through. It's just time for you to have a peaceful moment with your God. Mm-hmm. And he knows when to give you that. He knows, okay, we're going to rest. We're just going to lay here and enjoy one another. There's a time for storms and there's a time to rest. And the word says, the wind ceased and they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Why in the world were they that amazed? The man just fed 5,000 men with five loaves of bread and two pieces of fish. Not even sure it was a whole fish, but it was two pieces of fish. And then had leftovers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is this so amazing? Mm-hmm. How many times has God done anything for you? Mm-hmm. Why are you amazed now? Mm-hmm. He's been getting you out of trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's been getting you through storms. Mm-hmm. Why is this storm mm-hmm. any different than the last? It is not always true that when Christ comes on board, opposition ends, although this time it did. But it is always true when Christ comes on board, he will let him, Christ comes on board or we let him in, he knocks that new spirit comes in, and one who, let me just stop right there. That ain't coming out right.
That's all right.
All right.
I'm thrown off. What I'm trying to say is, when Jesus come in the boat, there's a new spirit. Amen. You change when Jesus is around. Everything changes. Yeah, he stopped the wind, he stopped people from coming against you, but you don't really care about that. You're just glad to be with Jesus.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
That's all that matters. Mm-hmm. For they considered not the miracles of the loaf, for the heart was hardened. That's what Mark said. Mm-hmm. Matthew 4:33. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God.
Yes.
And I'm going to end with this last scripture from John. And I want y'all to listen to this. Now Matthew said in 4:33,
when they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now John said this, and this is in the B part of Jonah. And immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Now all this happened in the midst of the sea. They were already off course. They were probably about 4 miles off course, just estimating. Because I went to Google and looked this up. So don't. That's not me. That's just me estimating. But they were off course. Now, all of a sudden, when Jesus came in the boat, they began to worship him. The boat ended up on shore. Come on now. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Nobody had to row. Nobody had to do any work.
Yes.
Jesus showed up and made everything all right. And not only that, he made sure you got to your destination without having to struggle. They four miles off course. Just imagine how long it would have taken them to row 4 miles. But Jesus showed up and said, we're going to be there just like that. That's what happens when you let Jesus in. He changes stuff just like that. In conclusion, listen to this. The Bible tells us in 6:21 that when Jesus came into the boat and immediately the ship was on the land whither they went. Jesus comes into the ship and the wind ceased, and immediately the ship was along with the disciples were on the other side. Now what does this mean? Give me one more minute, I'm going to sum all this up. Listen to this. This is just my story. After becoming a believer, God gives you a command to go to the other side.
Yeah.
And he assigns you a ship for your life journey. Mm-hmm. As his faithful servant, you have been rowing across the ages with one command on your mind. God has even assigned you a few passengers for you to take across to the other side. Mm. Now you and this old ship, you find yourself in the middle of the worst storm you've ever been in. But the boat is steady. And the saints of God continue to faithfully roll into these contrary winds with the forces of evil pushing against it. And everything they've got, they're pushing against you. At times you find yourself a little off course, but you continue to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He told you to go to the other side, and you press because you got somewhere to go. Suddenly, while everyone is in the ship and everybody's with one accord in prayer, they all heard a shout from heaven. It sounds like the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the voice says one thing, come.
Yeah.
Everybody say come.
Come.
Everybody recognizes the voice, because they know who they belong to. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And before the praises can go up, in the moment of the twinkling of an eye, the ship and everybody in it was caught up to meet Jesus in the air.
Hallelujah.
That's what this whole thing is about. When you're on your life journey, even in the midst of your struggle, Jesus can show up at any moment.
Yeah.
With the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and he can call you up right in the midst of your struggle. So whatever you're going through, continue to row. Jesus can see everything that's going on. You may even see him walking on the water. And if your faith is strong enough, ask him to come out there with you so you can go out there with him. And if he's so inclined to get in your ship, he knows how to take all your troubles away. whatever you're going through. Maybe somebody under the sound of my voice right now, you may be going through a little something. But to you, it's a big something. And you're in your ship and you've been rowing and you've been faithful. Maybe you haven't been as faithful as you want to be, but Jesus still sees where you are. And he's walking on the water towards you right now. And if your faith is so inclined, ask him to come. Invite him into the ship so y'all can go to the other side together. Maybe there's one under the sound of my voice who wants to have that relationship with God. Maybe you need God to come into your ship. If you haven't given your life to Christ today, let me tell you something. You need him in your ship. Maybe you're looking for a church home. CLLC itself is a ship. And we all got to row together as a church body. We got to press towards the mark of the high call. Maybe you just need a ship. We open up the doors of the churches. And you just need prayer. We saw that Jesus prayed. Time to pray and dialogue with his Father. We'll pray with you.